You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
All over the World Wide Web. www.1510wwbc.com will connect you to any listening device that you have right now. You can listen to us live. You just hit that listen live button. Or you can go to the on-demand portion and pick a date that you'd like to hear. It's also on our website, cedamediainc.com. And then, of course, we share everything on our Facebook page as well. Lots of fantastic guests that you can search for by name or search for by topic.
That's right. And all our listeners know and our sponsors that our show, Viewpoint with Ceda and Friends, is very fun. It's unscripted. We give out valuable information and very interesting facts about just about anything you want to know about, whether it's in the banking industry or mortgages or running for office,
making movies,
politics, making movies, writing a book, reading a book, wanting to write a book.
It
covers everything. We speak a lot about the environment. We actually have a lot of social issues that we address and social justice as well. So today's no different. Ellen, our studio is packed today, and we were supposed to have one more person. But it's a good thing I said, you know, we can manage with two or three, because I knew how many mics we had. So today, our show is, we're very, very excited to have our friend, Renee Torpy is here. Renee is a compassionate and dedicated injunction attorney, and she is just informed that she works full-time, actually, with the domestic violence shelter, Serene Harbor, which is right here in Brevard County, Florida. Serene Harbor is an organization that's dedicated to providing safety and support to domestic violence survivors, both men and women, and pets too, from what I remember. And we also have in studio with us Cora Perez, and Cora is a marketing and fundraising coordinator for Serene Harbor. And our second segment will be with one of our friends, Tracy. How do you say? Stuttered. I knew you were going to correct me on that.
I was going to say Stoke. I saw you getting ready to struggle.
And she, and she embodies the ultimate success of someone who opened an online business. It's just amazing what she's done. So welcome, all three ladies. Welcome to
Thank
our show.
You. Thank you for having us.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show.
Very impressionable ladies with us. So let's get started with Serene Harbor. We all know that someone who has been abused, whether mentally, physically, emotionally, or financially, and we know how it feels, and we also know how it feels to have an advocate for all of us, not just people who are victimized, but those amongst us that needs information about what the signs and symptoms are to look out for. So we'll start with Cora. How did you get involved with Serene Harbor, and what's your role with them?
So, hi, thank you for having me here at the program today. I got involved with Serene Harbor around 2013 through Beverly DeMayer, who is currently the president and CEO for Serene Harbor. She introduced me about what the organization was doing in the county for the survivors of domestic violence and started attending their fundraising events. Just to get more involved with the organization and to see what they were all about. About a year and a half ago, I decided to join full-time Serene Harbor and become their marketing and fundraising coordinator. So now I am in charge of handling and giving out the same information that Beverly gave me at one point and bringing in more allies to our organization. going out and talking to people about what is it that our center does, how they can help survivors, and of course putting together great fundraising events so we can bring more awareness to the community as well.
That's wonderful. It's always great to connect with people that we've met over the phone or we see them at events and we're not sure what they're doing, but that's impressive.
Well, and the resources that Serene Harbor has not only built but also offer to the community is one that I don't know that everyone knows about, which is why it's so important for us on community radio to get it out to everyone.
That's right.
To let them know that once you hear about symptoms and signs, or if you're a victim yourself, you know that there's places and people out there that care and that want to help you out.
And Renee, you're a friend of our show. You've been on before when you were running for office, and we absolutely love everything about you. So tell us your role and how you help at Serene Harbor.
Absolutely. So I'm the injunction for protection attorney. My services are offered free to all my clients. So they don't pay anything. And I help them get injunctions for stalking, dating violence, domestic violence, and sexual violence. I work very closely with law enforcement. And I help them prepare their evidence. I help them on testifying and basically walk them through the legal process. I also put them in touch with the state attorney's office if there's a pending criminal case, because usually they're the victim in that case, and we'll hook them up with a victim's advocate to walk them through the criminal process. And I find it really rewarding. For those of you who don't know, I used to be a prosecutor, and I switched to Serene Harbor because Serene Harbor is all about breaking the cycle of violence. And we offer so many different services, from free education to helping them with their job resumes, to doing microloans to build their credit scores. We have somebody who helps them with relocation, in addition to the counseling and the emergency shelters.
Yes.
So it's the full package. And I've received so many thank you letters from the women who have been able to get on their own two feet and not go back to the abuser.
Yeah, because you guys are helping people to rebuild their lives.
Exactly.
In addition to helping them when they need your services.
So I want to ask about the education
yes.
so far. Mm-hmm. So like, from an education standpoint, how early do people need to be known? Do young women and young men need to know about what's happening, about this cycle of abuse and the things that go on?
I think it starts as young as they're babies. They are very aware and perceptive about everything that's happening. But the way that we approach the education to break the cycle, we do it through prevention and we do it through healthy relationships. So if we educate mom and dad about how to have a good conversation with each other, have that open dialogue when they are differences, to not resolve to violence, that baby that's going to grow up to a toddler and is going to go to school, they're going to be learning that that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be screaming, it shouldn't be hitting, it shouldn't be pushing each other. So it's up to all of us to start doing that education, but Serene Harbor does understand that not everyone has that. That's what we have. Our prevention specialist that works directly with the schools and youth groups and around the community as well, to bring in that healthy relationships training and how to interact with each other. We do it as young as 8 years old because we get them before they go into the preteen stages when hormones get a little bit crazy and no one knows what's happening anymore. But we give them the basis so that once they start thinking about dating, which now has been shown that it's as early as 11 years old, they know that there are certain things that are not acceptable, and that they know that if they find themselves uncomfortable, they can go and talk to their parents or to a teacher or responsible adult to navigate those waters.
Right, and we've come a long way, right? Because a generation ago, people were afraid to come forward when they were having any kind of abuse, because of the shame and the stigma. And we've come a long way, Renee, in that we all know that a woman is assaulted or beaten like every 9 seconds. We know 1 in 3 women, 1 in 4 men are in abusive relationships. Now, are you guys seeing like this is a pattern in Brevard County as well?
Well, the area is growing. So I think because of the area growing and our word is getting out, we have a lot more people coming to receive our services. The great thing about Serene Harbor is you don't need to be in our emergency shelter to receive all these services. You can do outreach. So if you have a safe place to stay, you can still get the counseling, you can still do the microloans, and you can still take advantage of all the different opportunities we offer.
Yeah. And In addition to the sheltering of the victims, you all also offer other services. But we know here in Brevard, there's so many people that are afraid to come forward. What do you say to the people out there? Because people, you know, financially, they're dependent on their spouse or their significant other. And people are afraid to come to the shelter because then they'll not have to worry about the children they left behind or their pets. What do you say to women who would like to reach out and come and get the services, but they're just apprehensive and they prefer just to stay home and not do anything?
So they can call the hotline, and the hotline will work with safety planning for them. So even if they want to stay, they can teach them different methods. I know one of my clients, before she was ready to take that leap and actually leave her abuser, she called the hotline, and they discussed it, and they came up with different escape routes and everything. So she thought, you know, oh, use the window, which she had never crossed her mind before. So we will work with the survivor and whatever fits their needs.
Right. And it's also cultural.
Yes.
Because a lot of cultures, they sweep domestic violence under the rug. They won't speak about it because it disrupts the family life. And so a lot of people endure violence against women, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, because they're just afraid to leave their families, right? And I don't know if you've seen this, but we read an article where they're saying that the presence of guns in the homes where domestic violence has increased a lot. How do we help people with that problem here in Brevard?
With the gun
issues?
Yes. My clients, we haven't really come to that, so I'm not sure.
There's a survey that says the presence of guns in a home where domestic violence it's a problem that increases the risk of murder by 500%. I mean...
Yeah, I started reading that article actually this morning, and they were also tying that to mass shootings, because when you say mass shootings, and sadly we are all kind of aware and go immediately to one of the most recent episodes, be it at a school or at a mall or a public event, but we don't think that more than two people being shot at a home is a mass shooting. I mean, it is, and it happens, and it goes back to that prevention, and it goes back to that emotional, and that way that we are teaching our young kids and the adults on how to be responsible with whatever area they're doing, it being gun safety, domestic violence, interacting with other people.
Well, and the article went on to say that men are significantly more likely to resort to extreme violence, to use weapons, and to kill their partners as well. So I think the education is important, whether you're a small child or an adult, that if you do have a firearm, be responsible about it.
And we had it happen right here in Brevard County.
Yes.
Wasn't that long ago? A woman that many of us, I think, know. She was in the
Nadine?
mortgage and the banking industry for a very long time, and left Tracy's Lounge with a friend, having a drink with a friend, and went home. And at 10 o'clock that night, she was gone.
I think
because of a suicide and
was
a
that
murder.
Nadine, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
that and that's why I said that, because that brings it to that point.
But it worries me about even the bullying that goes on now. You know, the bullying in schools and stuff, and I wonder, from a transition standpoint or trajectory standpoint, whether that kind of goes into some of the domestic violence that,
right.
I mean, it would be natural to think that.
And is there a center or a learning center that you guys have now at Serene Harbor that is dedicated to Nadine? So let's talk a little bit about that, because she was killed by her
boy. Yes.
They were at our gig
mm-hmm.
that afternoon.
Wow.
So I know her very well.
Yes.
We were very saddened to learn about the passing of Nadine last year, and that created an initiative within Serene Harbor to open up an outreach center, open up our facility where we would be centrally located for anyone that may be going through a domestic violence situation, to be able to stop by, even if they're not really sure that they want to talk to someone, but that they can stop by, get some information, know where we are, and that they know that they're not alone. So Serene Harvest has been working arduously to open up the Nadine Cavalier, a beacon of hope, help, and healing outreach center. we are naming it in her honor because she was such a bright person for everyone in here in Brevard County. Everyone that met her got such a positive interaction with her, and she left us way too soon.
And with lots of questions.
Yes.
Lots and lots of
questions. Well, you know what? And we all know that domestic violence, whether it's emotional, financial, or physical, or whatever, it doesn't really, it affects everyone. It has rich, poor, every culture, every race, every gender. I see Renee shaking her head about that. I mean, it's not something that's only one segment of society receives, right?
Very true. And luckily, we do have the resources. So, for example, I've helped people that speak Arabic and Portuguese in addition to Spanish and everything, and we have Language Line. And so we'll have translators, and the code that we use, they know that we're a domestic violence shelter. So they work very carefully to make sure we have a woman who's translating so everybody feels comfortable.
Right. I mean, I remember once there was someone in Lansing Island on their boat. Remember someone got hurt on a boat, and the lady was a physician. I mean, people think that, oh, if you're poor, if you're down on your luck, if you have multiple children, whatever, you're in that range. But it's not. Even in high school, you'll see some of the richest, prettiest girls in relationships with boys, and they come with a black eye, or, you know, they're being bullied, and they don't want to talk about it. So how do we start the conversation, like, at home with our young ones? It's not always left to resources in a domestic violence shelter such as Serene Harbor, or it's not always up to the school teachers. It's up to parents and elders and community as well to start this conversation. So either one of you could take this. How do we start this conversation with our teens and our young children to look for the signs and symptoms of bullying and bruising and violence against men and women?
So, as you know, I have two young daughters, and we learn about good touch and bad touch. And, you know, when you have an argument, you don't use your hands, you don't hit, you don't kick. And actually, my daughter, while she was at school, a little boy looked down her shirt, and she told him, no, that was not right, those are her private parts. So I think you need to put it in our young children that they do have a voice. It is their body, and they control it. And they should be treated with respect.
Right.
And another thing I saw, too, was adults don't tell children to keep secrets.
Right.
You know, so big thought, right? I mean, it's a whole another realm, necessarily. Another thing that I saw recently is that a lot of bar owners now are putting in the women's bathroom to order an angel shot from the bartender, and that means they'll call the police or get you a safe escort if things aren't going well on your date. And I thought, at least public awareness is getting out there now that we do have the right to be, everybody has the right to be treated well. You know, sure, arguments are going to happen and those types of things, but good arguments, right?
Right?
Arguments that you get through. No hands, no screaming,
no name calling.
No bullying.
So Cora, what role is social media playing with domestic violence? I mean, what you see on social media is not always what you get, right? And we have a lot of children who are really affected by what they see.
Exactly. I think that we tend to forget that social media is the curated best self of each one of us. So we only put in there the picture that looks best for us. We don't care how everyone else looks, as long as you look great, right? And the more we spend time on it, we tend to forget what's reality and that things are filters, things are not how it is. Social media has the impact of bringing the message about what is healthy, when they should say no, how to use their voice, what's abuse, how to be empowered. But we have to fight through so many other social media posts about violence, about jokes, about what's happening in the area, and that the message sometimes gets buried. So it's part of the parents to sit down with the children as they're growing up, like Renee does with her daughters, and explain. It was like, hey, this looks great. This person is a millionaire, right?
Yeah.
But let's see how much they had to work in order to get there for them to not be able to do anything now. We're going to watch this show, and I'm not saying, I don't even know any other cartoons that are going on right now, but let's say the little dog hit the other dog, and we had to stop there, and we had to talk to the children and say, hey, That was a cartoon. He wasn't hurt, but in reality, they could be really hurt, and that's not something we do. We don't want to resort to violence. And that's the disconnect that we are seeing with social media. It's not being guided through our youth, and the adults are kind of seeing it with rose-colored lenses because they put their best in there, so they think everything's the best, and they don't want to see the bad. They don't want to dwell into the domestic violence conversation because it's not pretty, it's not fluffy, it's dark, but it's real.
Right. And Renee, do you still see a culture of blame when it comes to domestic violence? Do we still see that women are being blamed or men are being blamed when they're hit, punched, slapped, kicked, bullied?
So I know Serene Harbor works very closely with law enforcement, and I think there's a lot of training going on. I'm familiar with a lot of the chiefs, and I know they are very familiar with this, and so they have worked with their officers and their deputies, and not to victim blame. It's, you know, even the judge will say, you know, like, they can say something, we have freedom of speech, but you don't lay your hand on someone.
Right.
So it's important. I think they're working through that. I don't see it so much now. Even in the past 3 years that I've been with Serene Harbor, I think it's made a drastic change that everybody is helping the victim now. And I don't know if that's because of the national cases. You had the Johnny Depp case, which was very large. You had the Gabby case, which was very large and in the news. And so I think the public is more aware now.
Right. And at Serene Harbor, I'm sure you guys have had people with immigration statuses that they're afraid because they don't have their papers to come forward and speak. What happens when someone calls the hotline and they don't have a green card, they don't have citizenship, but they're being beaten to a pulp and they're afraid to call somewhere because they're afraid of being deported? I mean, this is a social issue and it does happen. Do we see that in Brevard at all, or Orlando, or any place like that?
I can speak on that. I had a case like that, and the mother and daughter were both here illegally, and they were scared to death of law enforcement. But the daughter was the one that had been battered, and we helped her, and the sheriff's office worked with me. We got extra victims advocates who spoke Spanish because that was their native language, and we wanted them to feel comfortable. We had the canine officer bring in the therapy dog for the little girl so she could testify with it. And the mom afterwards, it was translated to me that she was so thankful, and she had a renewed belief in our law enforcement because they weren't in trouble. They were so afraid they were going to be in trouble.
Yes.
And it's like, no, you guys did nothing wrong. We're here for you. And then I was able to give them the connections to an immigration attorney so they could work on getting their citizenship so they could stay.
Yeah, and it's important that people have compassion for others as well, right? Because it translates into our jobs as we grow into adults. For our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with our friends from Serene Harbor, which is a domestic violence shelter here in Brevard County, Florida. Cora Perez is with us and Renee Torpy. And now, in order to sustain what you guys are doing at Serene Harbor, you have to have events. So let's talk quickly about some of the upcoming events, Ms. Cora. Because
sure.
You're in charge of fundraising.
Fundraising, exactly. We try to make it fun, but educational, and you know, bring awareness to what we're doing. So we do have on October 11, which is a Wednesday, the Purses with a Purpose Luncheon. This is going to be at the Space Coast Convention Center in Cocoa. And we're going to have, it's going to be a fun morning. We're going to have vendors, and there's going to be raffles and auctions. And we have our guest speaker, who is going to be Jen Lee. She's the host of the I Need Blue podcast. And
she's been on our show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. She's also a new author of her book, I Survive, I believe it's the thing. Yes. So we're very excited about bringing this event back, and we are still looking for sponsors and vendors, and of course any company or organization that wants to donate anything for our silent auctions or any purse is more than welcome to reach out to us. But we also have the Chipping In to End Domestic Violence Golf Tournament, and that's going to be on November 4th. So that's for our outdoor community that wants to be out enjoying a beautiful morning. It's going to be at the Durant Golf Club. And We're going to end up the day with, it's going to be lots of prizes, and we're going to have a helicopter ball drop that day as well, with cash prizes to the three balls closest to the
pin. And Renee, you've been with Serene Harbor for a while, and I think it's important that our listeners should know that almost 15% of violent crimes, statistically, are intimate partner violence. I mean, this is something that happens behind closed doors. You're not sure what's happening so many times with people. Now, you've been with Serene Harbor for a long time, and are we trying to expand the facility for people who donate time, money, and effort and volunteer? What's going on with that part of it?
Serene Harbor is growing. I'm excited to announce that I will be getting a paralegal starting this week. So I'm very excited about that. Previously, I've had interns, and they've been doing great. My last intern just got a scholarship. She's in her final year of law school. And I know that we've added extra positions. Coral could probably speak on that more.
Yes, we have been expanding our staff, adding additional certified trained advocates to be able to assist the survivors at the center, also make sure that they can answer the phones, the text, or the chat. And we're also expanding the bed capacity at our shelter. We currently have 20 beds, and we're going to be expanding to 24 and eventually 28, and receiving men as well in the shelter. Right now, we only receive women, children, and their pets. So with the expansion of the additional beds, we'll be able to receive men as well.
Right. And what's the website if someone wanted to find out about the events, if they want to donate time, energy, a little money, they want to attend an event? Give us the website.
Sure. The website is www.sereneharbor.org. There you will find our welcome screen. If you need help, you'll find the Get Help buttons to lead you directly to more information, and the Give Help will take you to our events, our volunteer page, and our support page.
And Renee, you've been with Serene Harbor for a while. Take us into the day of one of your typical days when you show up to work, because people are frightened. They're not sure what's going to happen in court. They're not sure how the judges are going to rule. They're worried about their children, the pets, the things they left behind. And your role as an attorney is also kind of sort of like a social worker as well, because you've got to make them feel so comfortable in what's going to happen next.
Yes. So I have so many clients, and I can have up to 6 hearings in one day. So that's the amazing thing about our community that impresses me so much, is we all come together and we work together. So if one of the victim's advocates from Serene Harbor can't make it, one of the victim's advocates from the law enforcement agency. Because when I'm in court, with a client, there's still 5 others out in the hallway. And the respondents, the respondents are the abusers, and then the petitioners are the victims. They're all sitting in the same hallway together. So we always try to make sure that we have extra victims advocates there so they're not alone. So the deputies are constantly in and out, making sure everything's being kept well and calm. And so my typical day usually is in court. I'm usually sending multiple emails out. I'm contacting law enforcement, requesting discovery so I can get the pictures of the injuries or the violence that took place in the house. I'm prepping clients up. It's a lot of, each day is so different depending on what I have scheduled.
Yeah, because it's about safety and security, right?
Correct.
And it's also, I mean, I know that Serene Harbor does this, and Brevard County is also promoting family reunification. I do know that people go to court and things don't go their way, but then they do try to educate the families to see if they can get people back together as well. And I think that's a good thing, because there's a lot of people that make mistakes and they want help, and we have the resources and provide for that as well. Law enforcement, Serene Harbor, whatever places. So Cora, I think this is where the segment ends, so give us the website one more time.
Sure. Visit us at www.sereneharbor.org. There you'll get the help you need. And if you are not needing help, we thank the Lord for that. But please follow us on social media, purchase a ticket for our event, and spread the word about what we do.
That's right. Tracy and I get all our good purses at all these events, so you want to make sure.
Yeah, I actually have too many purses from those events.
By the way, I want to make sure that part of the segment that we actually say the phone number, the confidential hotline, 321-726-8282. Again, 321-726-8282. And we're going to listen to a few of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Fine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Your delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroadsFinancialGroup.com.
This is a certified public. There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Listeners, this is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Ellen O'Neill is here. We had such a great segment, but I just want to clarify, Cora, on the part where if people wanted to have something sort of like a second chance, make amends with their family, something went wrong, there was abuse, there was violence, but then some people do change. And you're saying that after the court, there is a program.
Like, it happened, what do I do now? How do I teach my children? How do I take care of them?
How do I move forward?
How do I move forward and then, you know, recenter myself as a parent and focus my energies in upbringing the children and making sure that it doesn't happen to me again or it doesn't happen to them again. It's very important to do continuous support to the survivors and continue providing those resources to them, because we don't want them to fall back into old patterns just because they feel neglected or they feel that no one is there to support them. We are with them from the first moment they call our hotline until they succeed in their goals once they go through all the services.
Right. And our second segment is with Tracy and
Tracy Stoddard. Right here. Everything Brevard, right here in Brevard County.
And we've known her for how long? Forever. We see her on social media. We see her at events.
Girl talk.
One thing about you, Tracy Stoddard, is you're all... One thing about you, Tracy, is you're always smiling. And I always wonder what it is about a person that wakes up every day, and no matter where she is or who she's with, she's always smiling.
Have you seen her 3 days before the publishing every month of a magazine?
I think
that's the only time, though.
What it tells you is she's very contented. She's done so many things in her life, and if there ever was a genius that knew how to do a marketing business online, a magazine, it's you. And you've taught all of us to believe in yourself, and it's possible. If you have a dream, go after it. So let's chat. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
I'm not sure where to start. I did have a dream that I wanted to build something. I wanted to build a community where everybody felt included, everybody had a voice, and that all stemmed from growing up in a small town, 800 people approximately, and I was born into a family of entrepreneurs. But I give credit to my grandparents. They were farmers, and my grandparents knew the pharmacy, they knew the furniture store, the grocery store, and there was one of each of them, and they just collectively had this amazing community. And I left that community when I was 9 years old. My family moved to Alaska, and I've spent my entire adult life trying to build community. And it's just a natural thing that comes easy to me to kind of open my arms and bring people in and help them learn how to tell their stories and share their gifts. And I live in a world of positivity.
Like our friend Marty Ward used to say, to share your talents, gifts, and abilities.
She did.
She sure did, right? That was her tagline. So Tracy, you found the secret to success, and that was by identifying your target. You knew who you were targeting for an online magazine, correct?
Mm-hmm. For me, I felt like the target audience was entrepreneurs because I've been in sales for 25, 35 years, I think now. Well, actually, longer than that.
When
my
she
first
was five.
Job was selling was newspapers five. In Alaska, door to door. I really just had a passion for entrepreneurs. And when I would sit one-on-one with them, they would so easy and comfortably share their struggles and situations that they'd gotten in or needing solutions and didn't know where to start. And so my whole business has been shaped around providing connections and solutions to local entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And you had to have a talent. You had to have your own skill. You had to know your own interests and your own preferences in order to do this. Because you just can't start a business if you don't know something about the business. You knew about it.
I tell people that I have been in the people business my entire life. The skill sets to running a media company or publishing a magazine, those are all things that can be learned. But I have been in the business of people and understanding people and how to help them accomplish the things that they need and want. And I've just worked really hard. When I first got into publishing, I didn't know anything about it. I was in property management. And I knew that my family was outgrowing the accommodations that were provided, the housing accommodations that were provided for us. And this opportunity presented itself, and I said, yes, I'm going to do it. And I just did it and never looked back.
And I want to tell people, because I remember the story, I think it was Women's Prosperity Network was the first time I heard the story, but you dealt with a lot of adversity in the beginning. You had people steal your ideas, you had people that were doing, and then right here in our own community. Just that right building, but just that building of, you know, your confidence and your support and the people that were around you got you through all of that adversity. And here you are today with this mega icon magazine, not just in print, but also online.
I think, are you still going to print? You discontinued the print?
In March, we shifted to complete digital and ditched the print. Now, I love print.
It's, we were the last one in the print.
It is my heart. I love it. But for the people that I serve and the way that the prices were going up with COVID, it did not make it. It wasn't the fiscally responsible thing to do. I wouldn't pay $1,500 for a half page ad. I just wouldn't. So I'm not going to try to sell somebody that. And I wanted to pave the way and be able to expand our reach and just dive in and leverage technology. And we did that starting in March. So now we have a monthly release of local stories. The collections have been beautiful. And since going completely digital, our website traffic is up 22%. Our reach is expanding through social media, our partnerships. It's been great.
Yeah. And how do you help people to position their small businesses for growth? Because by you mentioning us in your magazine, and you know what's cool about the magazine? It's called everythingbrevard.com. You included that .com in there. And it's people usually don't include that part of it. They'll just call it Everything Brevard. But hers is everythingbrevard.com. It's amazing. But you also help people to grow their businesses. So tell us a little bit about some of the success stories you've had with helping people to grow small businesses.
When I launched the everythingbrevard.com website in March of 2011, I had 27 featured businesses on the website. We now support 250, 300 local small businesses. Small businesses look for amplifying their voice, expanding their reach, and they all know they need a website presence, especially back a decade ago. They knew they needed to be online, but they didn't have any opportunities to actually use their website. Like, it would be built and it was nice, but it was like a candy store with the door locked. Nobody could get in, nobody could engage. And so our software gives them a platform. They can either use our website as a tool to drive traffic to their website, or it can actually be their own domain. One of my longtime customers ever since we launched, Jeff at Palm Shores Bistro, he uses our website as his website. So if you type in palmshoresbistro.com, his promo page on our site comes up. But he has the ability to run coupons, promotions, post jobs, and really interact and engage with our audience. And when I built the site, I knew that not only did I serve entrepreneurs, but I also served the consumers in our community.
Yeah.
And back when we launched, if you wanted to know what was happening, you had to pick up 50 publications or go to 50 different websites. There was no one central place with the information organized. And so that's what me and the team have worked on for the last 13 years.
Right. And you do believe.
And that evolved into the magazine. I got sick in 2016, and I was actually going to sell my business. And I thought, surely there has to be more to life than just managing type 1 diabetes. I was just turning 50 years old when I got this diagnosis. And then God put it on my heart that I needed to do the print magazine back in 2016. And I talked to my team, and everybody on the team said, yes, let's go for it. And we launched that. And Then we launched a digital kiosk network that helped us through COVID. And
well, you already had everything. The mechanisms were already there. Yes. You just needed the ideas to push through.
Yes.
But you also believe in, you are a woman of faith, and I do follow you, and I've known you for so long. And I find that you, not only do you believe in second chances for people, but you believe in telling their life stories. And when you read some of the stories and everything, Brevard.com, you can feel the writer was so compassionate and empathetic to the person they're writing about. Whether it's a business, whether it's an individual, it comes across to people that you care. How do you accomplish that and your team accomplish that?
That's a great question. And it's kind of our secret.
Yeah, but you actually, like, for us, we feel it. People will pick up. I know when you had the magazine in print, you would go to a doctor's office and somebody would be reading it and they're totally engrossed in the magazine. Something in that magazine caught their eye, and they're sitting right next to People and the Inquirer and the Star, but there it is. Everything Brevard is in their hand and they're reading an article.
So the idea behind it was to have short, to the point, content-rich articles that people could read in 3 minutes or 5 minutes and share the stories. And my belief is that the more we talk about our own personal journeys, the more people feel open to share their own stories. And when the diabetes thing happened for me, I'd talk about it. And somebody would say, oh, I read that post on social media, you know, I have this, or I have that, or I didn't know things. And probably one of the biggest things that gave me my voice was education. And I listened to Coral and Renee and the conversation that you were having the first part of the show. And education really set me free. I felt for the first time in my life like I couldn't get it wrong.
Yeah.
When I left home at 17 years old, I didn't have a voice. I listened. I followed the rules. I never disrupted anything. I was a rule follower. And
until you got educated.
Right.
Well, education opens up so many doors, right? And so many opportunities come the way. But you also have like a 5-step program to spark a business growth.
Yeah.
Do you have time to talk about? I can share. It's lengthy, but you know how to summarize, and you'll be able to summarize that and focus on growth and visualization
and all that.
It's
individual for everybody. But one of the things that I start with when I'm working with a business owner is I like to find out their common interests and what it is that drives them. How did you start this business? And then design a plan or a strategy around that. And then talk about the vision of where you want to go with your business. Where do you see it? Because if you can get them to think beyond Friday or the end of the month, where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years? And really paint broad strokes. You know, what do you want in your life? You can reverse engineer it all the way down to steps to take on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis to get you exactly where you want to go.
Right. But in order to do that, you have to have the vision.
Yes.
You're right. You have to have that drive and that ambition to see the future,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And that requires a lot of self-awareness.
Discipline.
Questioning. You got to ask the right questions.
Right. And that leads into the next thing, Ellen, branding. Like when I see Ellen now, I think singing, guitar, you know, crowds. That's her brand now, plus a show. But how do you help people to brand themselves? Because people sometimes, they have all these ideas, but they just can't get that that says, okay, this is my brand.
I've found over the years that people have a really hard time with that because they want to be the best of the best at the beginning. And I think they don't realize that you have to take the stairs. It's one step at a time. So I say, start small, get your logo, get a business card, what are the marketing materials? Like, to start making an investment in the brand, and the brand will evolve and grow as you grow and evolve.
Right, and you don't cut and run, right? You
have no.
You just got to sit and wait sometime. Things don't happen overnight. Like Danny here with the fishing. Next thing you know, he's going to be branding himself as a fish guy and doing something. What do you think?
He already is. He's doing but events every weekend.
Yeah,
he's got
next
a cool
thing he's
going to
be on everything Brevard Fishing. But yes, I knew it. I swear to God, I knew it was coming. But you know, there are people that want overnight success.
Right.
They see Kylie Jenner and Kendall and Kim Kardashian and the Skims, and they're like, oh, I want that kind of. But you know, success doesn't really come only in monetary values. Success comes from self-enrichment and self-fulfillment as well. And how do you tell people that, hey, you want to make money and pay your mortgage and car payment and insurance and everything, but at the same time, you have to enjoy what you're doing?
Yes,
right?
Yes, you really do. And most of the people that I work with really truly enjoy what they're doing, but they get so caught up in the day-to-day grind that they forget how to have fun. And so I encourage people all the time to make time for themselves. And I don't do it all the time. I sometimes forget. But when I prioritize myself and nurture myself, the rest just flows so easily. And me and God have communications every day. And I say, I'm here. I'm ready to do the work. Please just guide my footsteps. What are the next steps that I got to do? What's the next right thing to move us forward?
And do you take that to your team as well? Because you seem to have a team of people around you that has helped everything Brevard.com tremendously. And your turnover is not rough at all.
I don't have any.
They keep staying.
They stay with you from your photographer to everybody else. But, I mean, how do you transcend what you do in your personal life to for your staff as well?
It all started with a vision. And my vision was that I would have representatives throughout the county in each municipality, that ideally it was going to be a mom with kids who probably had a partner that was providing the financial resources that they needed, but she wanted to still make a difference in her family, make a difference in the community, and take care of her kids. And that didn't happen. But what happened was that's how my team was built. And each one of them, for example, Stephanie Christman, who's my website editor, she actually lives in Iowa now, but she was here. And I met her I was speaking at a CareerSource Brevard event, and she called me and she said, I just feel like I could work with you, and can we have coffee? And I wasn't hiring anybody, but she came on board, and she's been with me now 9 years. My editor, we sat at a Shannon Gronich event, and I was comparing granddaughter, and she was comparing her daughter, Ella, who we all love and adore. We were comparing photos and stuff, and she said, I would just love to work with you. And I said, I don't even know how much an editor is. Like, I don't know that I can afford that.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would look like. And she said, can I just edit your next issue for free? And I said, for free? I'll let you do that. And then I was watching the magic happen before my eyes through the process, because she was teaching me. And I said, well, free is nice, but I can't do that. And I paid her, and we have been working together ever since. And so the whole team has come on board. They all have kids. My graphic designer, her babies are now 13 and 10. And
wow, she's been with you forever.
Yes.
So
yeah.
The team was
built that way.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with our friend Tracy Strodard, and she is, I have to say, you're like the CEO, the speaker, the representative, entrepreneur of everythingbrevard.com. And we've watched you grow from ABWA days, when we first started the ABWA daytime to nighttime, and your business took off, I think. And I think one of the reasons why your business did so well is because every article you write in your magazines, you make that person feel special. That business feel like you care. And I don't think a lot of people know how to do that. It's a gift. Because I'll see like doctor's offices that will have them have your magazines in there, or their staff will tell me about, oh, what Tracy did for him. And I have to say, I applaud you for that. It's not often you find someone that not only cares about her own business, but everybody else's as well. And that's what you call a community. What you wanted was a community of marketing and marketers, and you got it. So give
thanks
us some,
God.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks for the feet push.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like when she said in the beginning, like her grandparents knew the pharmacy and the teacher and the school and the grass cutter. That was marketing 101, whether you know it or not.
Right.
They had it in
grass
their brain.
Roots.
Right. It's like in Trinidad, in the small villages, you know everybody. Mm-hmm. And it was word of mouth back then because people didn't have computers. They didn't have websites. But they knew how to market the skills of everyone in the village and give everybody a little shilling, they would call it. Right? Everybody
right.
had to live, right?
Yeah.
And so you've done that, but you did it online. And you did it through print.
And online was scary for me because me and technology mix like oil and water.
Yes.
Like I have a team of support for technology.
It includes a therapist, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, give us
but a... But I knew that... I needed to leverage that. I needed to use that.
Well, you had other skills that you were able to balance it with. You have people skills, whereas a lot of people don't have that. So give us the website in case somebody wanted to advertise with you or they want to reach out to you about an article, a book, a story.
And let me tell you that Tracy is an excellent business coach, so it's not all about advertising. If you wanted to hire Tracy to do some business coaching with you or marketing coaching with you, she's great. Oh, awesome.
Yes.
So the website is everythingbrevard.com, and my email is tracy@everythingbrevard.com. So you could reach out to me, and I would love to hear from you.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on our show, because you did a lot for us too by having an article about our show in your magazine. And I would have people that send me emails, and they're like, they did a really good job about you guys. Excellent article. And I'm like, thank you. But it's nice because we've known each other for so long. And I felt comfortable with you talking about Ellen and I. So, and Ellen, of course, she is the whiz behind the technology for our show. Man, I tell you, we couldn't do it without you.
I'm the therapist.
Thank
That's
you
my
for
job, too.
Me today. This has been
and
great.
We will make sure we get all of Tracy's information as well as Serene Harbor's information on all of our posts and website and Facebook pages and so forth. So please make sure that you follow Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and also Sita Biggie, who posts everything on her personal page as well. We'll see you next week right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Cocoa, Florida.